Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read together verses 7 through 8, and then by the grace of God, we can be seated. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for the wonderful worship. But Lord, now we're asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus and the Feast of Passover. Jesus and the Feast of Passover. Are you there at 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Okay, let's read together verses 7 through 8. And it reads, "Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." May the Lord have a blessing to the hear and read of his word. You may be seated. Saints, Passover has been the principal feast of the Jewish people for over 3,400 years. And since the Jewish people left Egypt, they were a type of being set free from bondage and slavery. Passover is a foreglimpse of the redemption of mankind. For those who will accept redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ, the work on the cross. Let's look at this right up here. Next Saturday, March 31st, 2018, all around the world, the Passover feast will be celebrated. Our Jewish friends, who we rent from, Temple Beth Shalom, they'll be preparing this week. And what they do, they go into the kitchen and they actually take their pots that they're going to use to cook and they purge it out. They put their pots over the fire. So they do everything in a religious connotation. Our prayers, while God has us here, is that they would see Jesus. They would see him clearly in the Passover, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of First Fruits, and then on the Feast of Pentecost, and then in the fall, the Feast of Trumpets, and then the Feast of Yom Kippur, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. We want them to see Jesus in their feast. Amen? And so right here it says, all around the world, Passover feasts will be celebrated. Now, it's on the biblical calendar. It is Nisan 15. Okay, Nisan 15. Now, for those of you who are new, every month we print out the Gregorian calendar, which is January through December, but we also incorporate the Jewish calendar because God does things on his divine appointments. And so we need to see what God is doing as well on his calendar. And so, Nisan 15, 5, 7, 7, 8, and that's going to be next Saturday. It's when Jesus was crucified, died, was buried in his tomb. But even more profound, saints, the following Tuesday, April 2nd, 2018, on Nisan 17, 5, 7, 7, 8, Jesus rose again. So I want you to remember this, that when Tuesday rolls around, that's when he actually, on the biblical calendar, rose again. So text everyone, Jesus has risen. Jesus has risen. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank God, 2,000 years ago, he rose from that tomb. And for some of us, we're going to get a glimpse of it when we go to Israel this year. Amen. We'll be going down to the garden tomb. And I can't wait. God is so good. So turn your Bibles with me to John 19 as we go into this teaching now. There's a lot of scriptures to adhere to, but aren't you so blessed that everything is backed up through the Word of God? Amen. So let's read John. Look at this. John 19. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" This is when Jesus was standing with Pontius Pilate, and all the people were saying, "Crucify him, we want Barabbas." Now, I taught on this the last couple of Wednesday nights. Why did the people want Barabbas and they did not want Jesus? After they saw the miracles, they saw Jesus raise the dead, they saw Jesus heal the blind, they saw Jesus heal the mute, and the dumb could speak, and the cripple was walking. They saw all that, but when it came down to the very last hour of his life on earth, they all said, "Crucify him, we want Barabbas." Because everyone there was still unregenerated. They didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit like you and I do. So their flesh gravitated to sin. And so they wanted a murderer instead of a savior. And so we have to have an understanding of why they said, "Crucify him." And so let's look at this. Pontius Pilate says, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Wow. You see, Jesus came from heaven. And so the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the religious leaders couldn't comprehend that Jesus came from above to come down to be with us. All they saw was the Old Testament. They were very religious and had no relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then verse 16 says, "Then he delivered him to be crucified." So they took Jesus and they led him away. Now, let's look at John 19 as we continue with this story. "And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Skull." Now, when we get to Israel, I showed many of you on Wednesday night, but there's an actual big, huge boulder, and it has the face of a skull. And just right below it is the tomb where they laid him. That's the real place where Jesus was crucified, on Golgotha's hill. And it says right here, which is called in Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on the other side and Jesus in the center. Now look at verse 31. "Therefore, because it was the preparation day," what were they preparing for? The Feast of Passover. So, in Jewish history, and even in our current day, these seven feasts are still celebrated in Israel and Jews around the world. So Passover is one of the big celebrations. There's millions that fly around the whole world. Now, during this time, there were hundreds of thousands that came from that region. But they all came for one purpose: to celebrate the Feast of Passover. But as we can see how this all connects, this is connecting the dots on how Jesus was part of the Passover. Let's look at this. Now it says here in verse 31, "Therefore, because it was preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day. So the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." So you had three people side by side on the cross, the two thieves and Jesus in the center. And so they wanted to make sure they were dead. Why? Because they didn't want no alive bodies before the sunset when Sabbath comes. So once again, very religious. They were very religious. Look at verse 32 now. "Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced the side with a spear, and immediately blood and water was poured out." Thank God for the blood. Say that with me. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood had to be shed once and for all for you and I. Can I get an amen? You see, in the Old Testament, they would bring turtle doves, they would bring bullocks, and it would be a bloody mess. But yet, it was a temporary covering. Can I get an amen? But it was Jesus that came, hallelujah, and said, it is finished, hallelujah. He came to set us free. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, praise the Lord. Look at John 19 and 40. It says that, well, they took the body of Jesus and bound him in stripes of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, it was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. We're going to see this. For some of you, you're going to see it for the first time, the garden tomb. But when you walk into that tomb, guess what? He's not there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are signs everywhere. He is risen. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed that our Savior rose again? Thank you, God. If he would have never risen from the grave, we would be men and women most miserable. Hallelujah. But because he rose again, he has given us life and life more abundantly. So let's look at this. Now, in the place, verse 41, where he was crucified, there was a garden, and the garden a new tomb which had not been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' what? Preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. It was Passover. Okay? So we're going to see how we're going to tie this all in just a few moments. Let's look at this up here. For those of you who have never seen this chart before, this is the seven feasts of the Lord. Now, they don't belong to the Jews. They don't belong to us Christians. These feasts belong to the Lord. And so it's not being religious. It's not going back to the Old Testament. No. Christians in these last days that we live in are starting to understand the feasts of the Lord, and that we should celebrate it, not religiously, but celebrate it for what Jesus has done on the cross. Can I get an amen? So let's look at this. Nisan 15, Passover. So Jesus died on Passover. So then they put him in the tomb. The next day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, look how it connects. Unleavened means a type of no sin. And so when the Jews go and they clean out their homes, they look for leaven, they look for dirt, so they start cleaning out their home. Well, if Jesus had sin, guess what? Then we would not be saved today. He was the sinless Savior. Can I get an amen? There was no sin found in him. So now he's buried in the tomb with no sin. But the Jews celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the second day. Now, on the third day, we all know that what? Jesus rose again. Can I get an amen? So 3 days later, he rises on the third festival, which is the Feast of First Fruits. He is the first to rise from the dead forevermore. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Man, I'll tell you, when you get this in your soul, man, I'll tell you, you won't let this go. Can I get an amen? So now, 50 days later, he already ascended to his Father, and he says, go and wait for the promise. And for some of us that are going to Israel this year, we're going to go to the upper room. Amen. And in the upper room, 120 were waiting for the promise patiently. And guess who else was in there? Women were in there too. And Jesus' mother was in there. She needed the Holy Ghost too. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. But religions has glorified her. No, she was just like us. Hallelujah. That needed the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. To empower us. Can I get an amen? So 50 days later, the Holy Ghost was poured out on the Feast of Pentecost. Woo, thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed? Hallelujah. So right now, we're still in the church age, okay? But listen, when Jesus comes again, it'll embark the whole thousand millennium reign. How many can't wait to reign with Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For 1,000 years, no more wars. Thank you, God. We're going to have our new body. You can get rid of the diseases. Hallelujah. You don't have to be on these yo-yo diets no more. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I'm praying. I say, God, if there's a body that you've already prepared, maybe I'll have some hair on it. I don't know. All I know is that I'm going to be brand new. Hallelujah. You're going to be brand new. Thank you, God. No more dying. No more suffering. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, man, he's going to make everything wonderful for 1,000 years. No wars. Thank you, No rumors of wars. Man, everything is going to be heavenly bliss, and he's going to reign and rule on this earth. I can't wait. I can't wait. And so the fall feast are the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles. So the next biggest event, could it be this year? We don't know. It could be next year. We can't put a date on it, but we do know that when he comes, he's coming on the Feast of Trumpets. Because Corinthians and Thessalonians gives us a hint that when the archangel shouts and blows the shofar, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. So, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, that's the final feast where God is going to tabernacle with us. It's found in Revelation. So this is all falling in order. Thank you, God. And we just have to continue to do the will of our Father and be patient for his coming. Can I get an amen? Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Because you know why? He's asking us to be patient. Because there's many folks that you and I know that still need to get saved. And so we need to keep sowing. Amen. We keep sowing and keep watering and keep planting and then watch God give the increase. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And so this next clip up here, you remember him? You remember him, huh? Yeah, you know, we all know him by Moses, but you know, that's Charlton Heston. He played that role. Every year since I was a child, we'd see the Ten Commandments, huh? Man, and to me, I still enjoy watching it. I still enjoy watching it. But now you can see it now through the lens of the Holy Spirit and see Jesus all in it. He's all in it. And why did Moses was raised up by God? Why? For 400 years, the children of Israel were in bondage to their slave masters. Well, guess what? You and I, before we got saved, we were in bondage to our sin. And Jesus had to come and free us up. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's look at this next clip. You know, let my people go. Let my people go. And God did so many miracles. And you know, one of the things that God spoke to me about, I go, God, you did when Moses hit his staff against the rock, you gave him water to drink. You dropped manna down from heaven, they ate. You freed them from their slave masters. But why did they always find themselves going back to rebellion? You ever ask that when you read the Old Testament? You know why? Because they didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. They didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. They were obeying the law. See, the law pointed us to the cross. It was the law that convicted us. But grace and truth, hallelujah, stepped over the law. And that's when Jesus says, come now. Come now. I've defeated death, hell, and the grave for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Thank you, Lord. He did it all for us. So let's go back to Exodus so that we can get an understanding in how they came with this wonderful feast. Now, we've had many dinners with our Jewish friends, you know, during Passover. But Yolanda and I, we just look at each other because we see Christ in the whole dinner, and they don't see it. They don't see God. And so we're always want to be a light before them, amen? But let's go to Exodus right now, Exodus 12:3. Let's look at this. God told Moses to speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, oh, the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, for you shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, first year. You may take it from the sheep, from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And then they shall take some of the blood, and they shall put it on two doorposts on the lintel of the houses that they eat it. What was that for? Why did they put the blood? You know, before I became a Christian, I'd watch the Ten Commandments. They showed every year. And then I would always see them put that blood on the doorpost. I had no clue. But they needed to put the blood there so that the death angel would what?
Pass over.
Amen? And so it started clicking when I became a Christian. I said, oh, man, I'm seeing something here I never saw before, especially in the movie that we saw every year. So then it says right here, let's see where we're at. Yes, verse 7. And it says, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Verse 8. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roast it in fire with unleavened bread. Notice unleavened bread. With bitter herbs they shall eat it. Because when Jesus was hung on the cross, there was nothing sweet about it. It was very bitter, wasn't it? And so we see all these things here that have connotations to that. Verse 9, do not eat it raw nor boiled with all water, but roast it in fire, its head with its legs and entrails. You shall let none of it remain until the morning, and what remains of it in the morning you shall burn with fire. Verse 11, and thus you shall eat it with the belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. Did you catch that? It's the Lord's. It didn't belong to the Jews. It don't belong to the Gentiles. It don't belong to us Christian, but it belongs to the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all, notice little g, little gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. And then verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be to you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Saints of God, when Jesus comes back for us again, hallelujah, all he's going to see when he sees us is the blood. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And death will have passed over us. Thank you, Jesus. You and I, by the grace of God, will not taste eternal death. Can I get an amen? Why? Because we've been sealed. We've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. The work was done on the cross for you and I. Woo, thank you, God. Man, God has done something so miraculous that the unbelievers, they baffle when we try to tell and explain these things. They can't comprehend it. Why? Because they're unregenerated. They don't see the things that you and I have now been able to see by the grace of God. God has given us eyes to see and ears to hear. Can I get an amen? That's the work of God. Now, we're going to show you something here in Leviticus. Let's go here. In Leviticus 23:2, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall call to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Now, if you were, before we go to the next clip, if you were to just look at the word feast, what comes to mind? For some of you, man, I can't wait till this preach is over, man. We're going to go to Hometown Buffet and have a feast. So we think of a festival of food, huh? A feast, man, fit for a king. But when we see it in the Hebraic root, we see something different. Before we go on to the next clip, it says, and you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. So let's get food out of the way right now. I know some of your stomachs are growling right now. Let's just get the food out of the way, and let's look at this in Hebrew. Let's turn. The Hebrew word for feast is also moed, meaning appointed times. Okay? It's not all you can eat somewhere. And the Hebrew word for convocation is mikra, meaning a dress rehearsal. For 3,400 years, even till this day, the Jews every year celebrate the seven feasts of the Lord. It's a dress rehearsal. And so when Jesus comes, guess what? It's going to be curtain time. He's going to really come and perform what he said to do. Hallelujah. So they're going through all the dress rehearsals, and you and I, God has given us a glimpse to see that that's been fulfilled, that's been fulfilled, that's been fulfilled, except the last three. The last three. So convocation is a dress rehearsal. So they've been going through their religious celebrations every year. But God has given us eyes to see and ears to hear. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, God. Saints, the Passover lamb was to be a male without defect. And all the people must slaughter the Passover lamb. There is deliverance for those who are covered by the blood of the Passover lamb. And who is that Passover lamb? Hallelujah. Jesus. Remember John the Baptist? He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He was the lamb that came, hallelujah, to deliver us. Thank you, God. The Passover lamb was to have no broken bones. Did you know when Jesus died on the cross, there was not one bone broken? This is why he gave up the ghost before they came with the bats to break the knees. He knew that they were coming. He says, "Father, I surrender my spirit unto thee." Boom. He was gone. So they came. He was dead. So they wanted to make sure. So they pierced him. And blood and water came. Hallelujah. And that blood was shed for us. Thank you, God. So let's look at the parallel. We're gonna look at the parallels of Passover and Jesus Christ, our Savior. Saints, for 430 years, the Hebrew people served the Egyptians. We know that. They were in bondage. They had no choice. Every day they made bricks, they built pyramids, and they served their masters. Whether they wanted to or not, they were enslaved. Can I get amen? And if they obeyed, they were beaten. If they rebelled, they were killed. Such is the life of a slave. Let me ask you this. Before you came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were all slaves to Satan. Come on. Ask yourself where God found you before you came. Huh? Well, for me, when I came, finally, my brother would witness to me, many would witness to me, and they would tell me about the goodness of Jesus, and I would just, in my own way, in my cursive way, I would just rebuke them, because I didn't want to, I didn't have ears to hear, I didn't have eyes to see. But when God allowed things to collapse in my life, and when I came and surrendered to a custodian at Horizon Christian Fellowship, I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock. I was so addicted. I was involved in three rehabs. And I would lie to people. "Yeah, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay." No, I was not okay. And when I cried out and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life, bam!
Hallelujah.
The blood was applied right there. Thank you, Jesus. And I was set free. He gave me ears to hear and eyes to see. He woke me up from my dead state. I was a zombie. I was dead. And he allowed me to open my eyes. And what did I see? I saw the cross. And I ran to the cross. Hallelujah. I ran to the cross. Why? Because I knew right away when I saw the cross, that was for me. That was for me. The cross was for you. Can I get an amen? You wouldn't be here because of the if it wasn't for the cross. Can I get an amen? Some of you would be out there still drinking your Sunday mornings. What do you call that? Tomato and vodka? Yes, that. Bloody Marys. Ew. Jesus, help us. Look at number two right up here. As Egypt was in bondage to Egypt, so man is a slave, what? To sin. Mankind right now, before we go to the next clip, the people that we know, you know they're not saved. You know, and their language. You know, the Bible says that from the heart, so a man speaketh. And so how many people do you know, bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ will come out? Well, you know that Jesus is not their Savior. They wouldn't curse God. They would have reverence to God. Can I get an amen? And so, as Israel was in bondage to Egypt, so man is a slave to sin. And until we get saved and delivered by God, naturally we gravitate to sin. Why? Because we live in a sinful body. and the body has yet to be redeemed. When Jesus comes, hallelujah, for the church, we will be just like him. Can I get an amen? Let's look at number two. Number two, each of us was born into this world as a slave to sin. And so we're tying in the Old Testament with the new. Look at Romans 5:18. Therefore, as one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, one man's righteous act, the free gift, came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Listen, when you got saved, now God looks at you as just as if you never sinned. Aren't you so blessed to know that? We have now been justified through the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Who's he talking about? Adam. Adam and Eve, who disobeyed in the garden, and because of their disobedience, sin entered into the world. And right now, we're still living in a fallen world. Can I get an amen? But man, God came and, hallelujah, came and saved us and delivered us. Thank you, God. And now we can testify. Now we can tell others about this wonderful news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So Moses had to bring down the Ten Commandments. He had to bring down the law. And what did the law do? It was pointing to the cross. Aren't you so blessed? Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery. All those Ten Commandments, right? And guess what? None of us can keep them. Try keeping one of them. Eight of them, nine of them, ten of them. Can you keep them all? It's impossible. And let me just say this. When Jesus spoke on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, just the thought of someone committing a sexual relationship in their mind, like an adulterous act, he says, you already sinned. You know what that told me when I saw that? It lets us know that all of us are not qualified until the blood is applied. So we're disqualified from the grace of God just for that act alone. And how many countless other sins that we commit. And so Jesus has to come, hallelujah, and regenerate us. His blood has to come and wash us clean. Thank you, God. Even though we still have the fragments of this sinful body, but the blood has covered us until the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Man, I remember the first denomination I came from, all they did was, you're going to hell if you think that, if you done that, if you said that, if you do that. Listen, how many of you, since you've been saved, have been a perfect model saint? I didn't see a hand go up in here. It's but the grace of God that keeps us. Hallelujah. It's but the grace of God that he pours out in us that we can love and that we can adhere to, that we can say, thank you, God, for this great salvation. Yeah. It doesn't give us a license to sin. Some people think, oh, man, you know, well, you're one of those, you know, forever saved. No, you know what? Because God has saved me, hallelujah, now I'm going to hold on to my Savior. And I'm going to do it in a loving way. I'm going to love him through obedience, not because it's do's and don'ts. There's some churches, man, they'll put up some do's and don'ts. And as soon as you break one, they'll let you know. Oh, yeah. Sometimes it can be hurtful. Look at Romans 3:23. For all, say that with me, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. Look at this. God is justified freely by his what? His grace. Thank you, God, his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Man, he did it all on the cross for you and I, whom God set forth as a propitiation, meaning a substitute. We needed something other than ourselves. There was nothing here on earth that can cover us but the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Through faith. To demonstrate his righteousness, because his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Look at that. All the people, even the people in the Old Testament, God went back to save them too. Because they needed once and for all the blood, hallelujah, of the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. God made a wonderful way for us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's look at our third point, Robert. Why can't we simply stop sinning? Have you asked yourself that? Why? Oh, I'm going to wake up this morning and I'm going to be a sinless saint. And so you get on your knees, you start praying, and here comes that thought of lust. Oh, man, where did that come from? Because we still live in a sinful nature. Hallelujah. But thank God the Holy Ghost lives inside of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. As I mentioned earlier, have you ever got on a diet only to get off again? Have you ever started an exercise program and abandoned it? It seems like every time January 1 rolls around. Oh, yeah. We're good for about 2 weeks. Yeah, man. Third week. I'm eating that big old burrito. I forgot about those days. That's us, isn't it? More importantly, have you ever tried to clean up your life and miserably failed? You know, there's some folks, praise God, you pray for them, but man, they can't put down that cigarette. They can't put down that liquor. They can't stop watching things they shouldn't be watching. And they miserably, they fail. So we can't stop sinning because by nature we are, this body is slave to sin. Oh, but Jesus had to come, didn't he? Jesus had to come. He saw we couldn't do anything in our own strength. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And the book of Romans explains all this. Look at this. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Look at this. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. So a person without Christ continually sins in rebellion toward God. But for as Christians, hallelujah, the blood has covered us. Thank God, even through our failures and faults. It doesn't give us a license to go back and dig it up. That's not what it says. But God, in his forbearance and his loving kindness and his mind for you and I, he has empowered us. Yes, hallelujah. It's the power of Christ, hallelujah, that sets us free. Can I get an amen? Look at this. But now, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God. I'd rather be a slave to God. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. I love you, God. I worship you and praise you. I want to do what pleases you now. Amen. Come on, you remember when you was back out in the club? Man, some of you were there past 2:30 waiting for that last drink. And then you went and had bottles in your car to take it back home. But look at this. We're set free from that. Look at, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. Thank you, God. It's the power of God that makes us righteous, not yourself. Can I get an amen? Amen. It is the anointing of God, the power of God, hallelujah, that sets us free. Thank you, God. And the end result is everlasting God. Can I? Amen. Everlasting life? Thank you, Lord. You know, we can't even see past 5 minutes. And some of you are saying, preacher, hurry up, man, I'm hungry. Come on, we can't see past 5 minutes, but God has given us eternity. Look at that. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Let's look at our fourth principle. We're going to go quickly now. Just as Hebrew people could not just leave Egypt, we cannot just simply leave our sin. Why? Because the Hebrews needed God to deliver them. Can I get an amen? They couldn't deliver themselves. They needed God. And so you and I, we need God to deliver us from sin. Can I get an amen? As the firstborn of Egypt died, so death comes to all men. It comes to all of us. Oh, yes, it does. Look at this in the Word of God right up here. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Bible's telling us, man, we were all condemned to die and to go to a fiery hell. You know, there's a real place called hell. And there's real people that fall in it. Can I get amen? That's what the Bible says. Look at this. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises what? The dead. He rose us up, man, when we were dead in our state, man. We were so dead. We were dead spiritually and alive to sin. That's what we were. We were walking around like zombies. Thank you, God. Look at this. Who delivered us from so great a death, who does deliver us. Notice presently, he's continually, hallelujah, every day, new mercies. When we wake up in the morning, he's still, hallelujah, delivering us. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. It's ongoing. Hallelujah. His blood still covers every day. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. In whom we trusted that he will still, what? Deliver us. You got to believe God's word. Man, don't believe someone telling you, man, you can drop right in there again. I go, really? Show me where God will unadopt you. We read about it a couple of weeks ago. He'll leave the 99 to go get you. Can I get an amen? And how did he greet the prodigal son? How did he greet him? Oh, here comes that dastardly son of mine. Close up the blinds and muzzle the dog. We're not home. That's not what the Bible says. He saw him coming from afar. Man, he sprinted toward his son. Hallelujah. Gave him a robe. Told him, man, kill the fatted calf. My son was lost. Now he is found. Hallelujah. Man, that's God's grace. That's his mercy. And every one of us has a similar story to that. Can I get an amen? And yet he found, hallelujah, grace for us. Oh, man, it's his mercy that we're here today. Thank you, God. Let's look at number 5. God promised that the firstborn in Egypt would die. He promised. And so that's why the blood had to be what? Over the lintel and over the doorpost. Why? Because the death angel was going to pass over those who were covered under the blood. Did you catch that? Covered under the blood. As surely as a firstborn died in Egypt, death comes to all. It does. The Bible plainly says what is obvious to everyone and is spelled out right here in Hebrews. Let's look at this. As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Hallelujah. Did you catch that? I want you to catch that. Sins of many. Look around. We're in that many. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Listen, there are some that, praise God, I knew them all my life. And there are some that have died without Christ. And I know that for a fact. I was with them when they died in my teenage years. We weren't attending a Bible study. Oh, no. We were cursive, drug users, gangbangers, you name it. And there was this one brother in the backseat of my car. We got jumped from another gang, and he was stabbed with an ice pick in the back seat, and he wasn't calling for Jesus. He was calling for his mom. And by the time we got him to the hospital, he died. I know. To bear the sins of many. And listen, you and I were in situations that were close to death. I don't know how many times my heart stopped from old Dean. I don't know how, when I was 25 years old, they threw a 5-kager for me in Presidio Park. And I went from one van to another van to another van, doing all kinds of different kinds of drugs, and my heart finally gave up on me. And they had to put that, what do you call that? Poof, to revive me. And I remember I was on the table in the emergency room, and the doctor said, I can't believe you're still alive. They saw all this stuff in me. And yet the next day, I went right back to the same vomit. But 5 years later, God came and saved. Oh, hallelujah. He came to save me. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And it's but the grace of God. But the grace of God that I've been walking with him for 27 years. Can I get an amen? Man, I haven't looked back, and I don't want to look back to that life no more. He leaves the remembrance so that we can glorify him and magnify him and say, this is what God has delivered me from. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. When we were all in bondage, amen? And so saints, the note the word appointed. Appointed. It's very similar to appointment. We all have an appointment with death, physical death. Some have an early appointment. Some have a late appointment. But never forget that we all have an appointment. But when you have Christ in your life, the moment we close our eyes here on earth as a saint of God, our eyes open and the faith that God has given us opens our eyes and we see Jesus face to face. Hallelujah. The Bible says we're in his presence forevermore. So let's look at our sixth point. For 1,500 years later, a prophet named John the Baptist was preaching about the coming of the kingdom. Aren't you so blessed that Jesus sent his cousin first? That was his primo. His cousin John. And he baptized people as they repented for their sins. And he looked up the river, who saw a man coming toward him and knew exactly who he was. Look at this in John. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. This is why Jesus came. He came to die on a cross for you and I. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. He was the final sacrifice. And of all those millions of animals throughout the years in the Old Testament, that bloody temple, Jesus came and shed his blood once and for all for mankind. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Let's look at our seventh point. As the blood of the Lamb saved the Hebrews, so the blood of Christ saves us. Can I get an amen? Let's look at 1 John 15. And it says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood, say that with me, the blood, one more time, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from what?
All sin.
I heard someone say some sin. Bible says what? All sin. I don't care what you've said or done. God will wash you and cleanse you. Can I get an amen? There ain't a sin you can commit. Hallelujah. That he can't take care of the cross. Hallelujah. He did the work here on the cross for us. Thank you, God. Don't get caught up in religion. Religious folks, man, they'll chop you up and have no scripture to back it up. None. They'll just give you their point of view. They'll give you a false conviction, but they have no scripture to back it up. Can I get an amen? Amen. Believe God's word. Believe God's word. Thank you, God. And look at verse 9. This is continual for the saint. This is for you and I. Because, listen, catch this. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. So he gives us today. Can I get an amen? He gives us one day at a time. So when we wake up, hallelujah, or we're ready to shut our eyes for that evening, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful in what? Just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. This is a continual type of worship unto him. Oh, God, cleanse me and wash me. And listen, this is not about, am I going to lose my salvation? No, this is your heart. Hallelujah. Loving the Savior and thanking him what he's done for you. Hallelujah. That he's taking you from this life into eternity with him. Look at this. And if we say that we have not sinned, then we make him a liar and his word is not in it. Come on. We could be a model saint, but there's one thing that you cannot, hallelujah, prevent, is the thoughts in your mind. Everyone covets. Everyone wants more or looks at things they shouldn't look at. And some of us brothers will take a second look. And maybe some of you sisters, I don't know. But look, that's a type of what? Covetousness. But that doesn't cause us to go to hell. What it does, the Holy Ghost, what it does, it'll bring, he'll speak to us. Say, hey, give that to me. I'll take it from you right now. And guess what? We wake up the next day and we battle with this flesh once again. It's a continual battle. Can I get amen? But the eternal battle was dealt with on the cross. Thank you, God, once and for all. You see, the law would point us to death. Jesus points us to heaven, to eternity. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So, saints, in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, God had to kill an animal to cover their nakedness. Something had to die and shed blood for the sin that was committed against God. So we see right here in Genesis the first covering. Look at this. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Why? Why did he have to clothe them? Because, yes, their eyes were open and they had sinned before God. So now God had to cover their nakedness. And guess what? He has covered our nakedness with his blood. Thank you, Jesus. He has covered our mind, our heart, everything about us. He has covered us in the blood. Thank you, Lord. Look at this. It says, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also out of the tree of life and eat and live, what? Forever. Verse 23, therefore God, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which it was taken. So he drove out the man. So there was a consequence for that sin. And so for thousands of years until Jesus came, man kept being pointed by the law. And then grace and mercy came. Thank you, Lord. Grace and mercy came. Look at what it says in Hebrews 9:22. It says, according to the law, almost all things were purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So guess what? If Jesus would have never shed his blood for us, we would still have sin remaining and take us into a fiery pit. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. Why? Because Jesus had to shed his blood because there is life in the blood. There's life in the blood. You know, I asked God, God, you know, you made us. You made all, especially mammals, and then us who are created higher than the mammals, we're human beings. But all of us have blood. Why don't we have blood? It's right here in Leviticus. For the life of the flesh is in the what? In the blood. And I have given to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. There had to be blood. This is God's way of thinking, not ours. This is God. Don't try to figure it out. If you try to figure out, you're going to be confused. You have to walk in faith now and believe God. Believe God all this. He did it for us. So look how Hebrews breaks this down. We're coming in for a close. And the next clip right here. It is, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he, Jesus, came into the world, he said, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. And it was prepared on the day of the Passover feast. Wow. Thank you, God. Some of you are getting a hold of this now, huh? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Look at in verse 6. And burnt offerings, did we read that? No. Burnt offerings, sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. Jesus, from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus came in the volume of the book. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. He came in the volume of the book, written of me. It's all about Jesus. It's all written about Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Someone got to give God praise and glory for that. Look at this. To do your will, oh God. Previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor did have a pleasure in them. Man, they had to come with these stinking animals like this. And it was temporary. And a lot of them didn't want to do it. But they did it religiously. This is the only way that I can be good for a whole year. That's what God says right there. They did not desire, nor had a pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. It was by the law. And so they didn't want to do that. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. It was drudgery for them, or drudgery, or it was a task. And it was like, oh, man, here comes that feast again. And so instead of looking at this feast with joy, they looked at it as a task. Hallelujah. We can look at this feast now saying, joy, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for passing over us, God. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 9. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. What did he take away? The Old Testament, because it was temporary. He came to make a permanent, hallelujah, sacrifice once and for all for you and I. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that he may establish the second. And by that we have been sanctified through the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. God has sanctified you. Guess what he's done with for you? He has set you apart. You're not like the world no more. If you think you're like the world, think again. You're not. Listen, the world wouldn't sit down in here listening to this. They find better things to do. To them, what's written in the Word of God on the pages, all it is to them is ink on pages. And they don't comprehend it. But for you and I, God has made us alive unto him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, man. This is better than some spare ribs right now that's probably waiting for you. Come on. Some of you are going home to some menudo. I don't know what you're going home to, but let this be, hallelujah, better than that. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And look what 1 Peter says about us. Look at knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Jesus was holy and pure and sinless. Hallelujah. Look at this. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. He did that for you. He did that for me. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you so blessed, saints? Come on, some of you have to know you. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Saints, as the Hebrews were saved by applying the Lamb's blood, and so we are saved applying Jesus' blood upon our life. So by faith, Moses kept the Passover feast mentioned. It's mentioned in the New Testament. It mentions right here in Hebrews. Look at that. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith, we have received Jesus Christ. Look how that ties in. It ties in the same way, huh? By faith. Even Moses had faith to believe that putting the blood on the lintel and the doorpost. And when the death angel came, he passed over, didn't he? Thank you, God. And so, saints, for us, as born-again believers, as Christians, we can take joy, hallelujah, in this next verse of Scripture. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should. But we can't say, oh, look what I'm doing now. No, it's what God has done for you. There's nothing we can do to please God other than worship him and praise him and glorify him and thank him. That's all he wants from us. We have nothing to pay him back. Paul, what's his, Paul Gates? Is he one of the wealthiest guys? Or even one of the sheiks in Saudi Arabia? All that money they got cannot buy 1 ounce of blood. It's by faith. It's by faith. So we close in Luke. We close. Look at this. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. We just read the law of Moses, didn't we? We just read the Passover. So God is now pointing back to the law, and now he's pointing back to grace. Look at this. All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me, meaning Jesus. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Until God unlocks your mind to understand this, you're not going to see it. It's like buying a software program, downloading it on your computer. But guess what you need? You need the access code. Or it just stays frozen. Well, God unlocked that. He gave us ears to hear and eyes to see. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed? Look at this. Let's move on to the next scripture. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And for some of you, we're going to be going there for the very first time. And we're going to see where Jesus walked, where Moses, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where all the kings, where all the judges were. Hallelujah. I think we're going to Hebron too, aren't we? We might be going to Hebron. That's where Abraham and Sarah, their tomb is there. In Jerusalem, the tomb of King David is still there. We're going to travel through King Hezekiah's tunnel. Oh, yeah. Everything that's written in here is still over there. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So now, I want to ask this question, and then we'll close. Where do you believe we are in the prophetic timeline? Are we close to the end? Is there still 100 years from now? Here's a clue that I found. Let's go to two. Let's go. One more. I want you to see that. He says, see where it says we are here? On the far right, it says we are here. Okay. What's going to kick this in motion? And then the same 7 years are going to start is when that peace deal that Trump's son-in-law and many of them have gone to Saudi Arabia, they've gone to Egypt, they've gone to Israel, and they're all talking about this peace accord for 7 years. And when they sign that peace accord, it's going to kick into motion. Because right now, They have all the things for the next temple. It's already built. And so once the peace accord happens, then the Jews are going to build their temple again right next to that mosque. And let me just say this. Jesus will come at the very end because the Mideast peace treaty expires. The battle Armageddon will begin. The coming of Jesus Christ. Even Jews meet their Messiah. The Bible says in Zechariah in chapter 14 that when Jesus comes, he's going to land on the Mount of Olives. And all the Jews are going to see him. And you know how they're going to know it's Jesus? Because they're going to see the nail-pierced hands. And they're all going to, some of them will go, oh my gosh, it was him the whole time. Some of them will repent. Some of them will still be hardened in their heart. But we're right there. We're right there. And how many of us saw that red horse blood moon? Remember, it was a sign of war. And right now, I'm telling you, we need to be praying because China and Russia and Iran and Turkey, they're all gathering their forces because one day they're going to call us out. Because right now, there's all kinds of bombing in Syria. And guess what? The Bible says in the last days that Damascus would be wiped out. And right now they're bombing that area right now. Man, if you look at Damascus right now, it looks like downtrodden, buildings crumbled. So saints, know this, that when that peace treaty, it'll be worldwide news that the Palestinians and the Israelis have agreed for a 7-year peace plan. That is what Daniel prophesied. That's what Revelation prophesied. And now, hold on to your seatbelts. Here we come. We're around the corner, saints. We're around the corner, saints. And so I'm praying right now for someone who's listening on the internet. Maybe you're here for the first time. I don't know. Maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. But I'm here to let you know that when Jesus comes, Jesus is going to come in his glory, and he's coming for us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to take every one of us home with him, and we're going to be changed, and we're going to be just like him. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more battling with diabetes and cancer and all these other ailments. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We're going to live forever to worship the King. The Bible says he has gone away and prepared a place for us. And he's built this place without human hands. That lets me know we don't have to worry about termites. We don't have to worry about plumbing and electricity. We don't have to worry about replacing the roof. We don't have to worry about all that because his hands will have prepared it. And it'll go on forever and forever and forever. And how long is forever?
Forever.
Forever. Amen. And so if you're listening to this message and maybe you've never entered into that covenant with God by faith, all you have to do, the Bible says, is repent of your sins. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for my shortcomings. Oh, God, cleanse me, wash me. I want to be saved too. And if that's you, if you're listening to this message right now, God's doing the miraculous in your heart. If you feel something in your heart turning and churning, that's God right now, hallelujah, speaking to your heart, saying, turn to me. For Jesus is the only one that can give you life and life eternal. And if that's you, I want you to say this simple prayer. Now, the prayer don't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that'll save you. Prayer is just a tool that God has given to sinful man here on earth to communicate with the holy God in heaven. That's why he gave us prayer, so that we can communicate with him by faith. And if you're listening to this right now, say this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Come on, give God praise and glory in the house. Oh, thank you, God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.